Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you that you have paid the price. You have given us new life. You've given us true hope, true focus, true purpose. And we have the privilege of serving you now and for all of eternity. Thank you, Lord, for the family. Thank you for allowing us to gather together, allowing us to hear your word and to sing praises to you and to honor you. We know that you seek worshipers in spirit and truth, and we want to be that for your glory and for your honor. Now work in our hearts to understand your word and to practice it in a way that honors you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Pastor Roger Johansson, missionary in Northeast Brazil, and so you probably wonder why I have an African shirt on. I don't know if you can see that real well, but it is a shirt that I got in Mozambique. This last year, ministering in Brazil, I've had the privilege of being able to go with Pastor Eddie Oma to Mozambique and train future leaders. And so I got this shirt there just to remind myself to keep praying for Mozambique. And about 2 weeks into our time there, Pastor Mike from here and my son Joshua joined up with us and did a leadership conference and then did some research for future potential ministry of countryside extending out into Mozambique, Africa in the future. So this is just a shirt I like to wear to remind myself to pray for Mozambique, pray for the expansion of the work of God. We know here at Countryside we support ministries in Kansas, and we support in Mexico and Brazil, but we know that those ministries also are expanding and reaching out into other parts of the world, and that's exciting for us. So thank you, and remember to pray for God to continue to build his church. And he is doing that in the midst of the situation that we find ourselves. Just a quick report, we've only been down in Brazil for 10 months. We only came back for a quick trip up here to celebrate with some sons and see my granddaughter and possible some health things with my wife to deal with real quick for this month that we're here. But the church in Brazil, where we're at, is a new church plant. And we minister, our church planting team minister over to 40 people. And so during this time of closed down and everybody's scared to get out, we have seen the church actually grow. And it just reminds me that God is still on the throne. God is still drawing people to himself and has a wonderful eternal plan. Amen? Well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn them to Luke chapter 8. And as you do, I want to share that when I was in Africa, I wanted to see a cheetah. And I was really close, but they were hiding in the grass. They never popped up their heads, so I never got to see them. But I was born and raised in Springfield, Illinois. And in Springfield, Illinois, we have a small zoo. A really small zoo, but we were really excited because we had two cheetahs come to stay in our small zoo. And it was thrilling for me because I love the cheetah, because the fastest man on earth is 27 miles per hour, and the cheetah can go over 65 miles per hour. The ability of these two cheetahs is amazing. But as I looked at them there in the Springfield Zoo, the small zoo, the cheetah were limited by the fencing around them. In the cage that they found themselves within, they could not get up to 65 miles per hour. They could not produce to their maximum ability. Because why? Not because the cheetah didn't have the ability to do so in the sense of their own force and strength, but they were limited by the fencing around them. And as we go to Luke chapter 8, we're going to find that sometimes we limit the word of God to produce in our lives. Look at chapter 8, verse 15. In Luke 8, 15, it says like this. And as for that in the good soil, there are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Look at verse 8. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded a hundredfold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The theme of our text this morning is this. To experience the fruit of the Word of God, you need a fertile heart. To experience the fruit of the Word of God, you need a fertile heart. In order for you to truly experience what the Word of God can do in your life, what we're going to see here this morning is that we have to have a fertile heart. A great pastor said that a pastor should put on his preaching agenda to preach the Gospels often. And now that I'm starting this new church plant in Brazil, I thought it'd be really important for our church, our baby church, to learn about Jesus. And so we're in the Gospels. We're in the Gospel of Luke. The theme of the Gospel of Luke could be this: Jesus, the perfect man, as Savior of imperfect men. You know, Matthew wrote with a Jewish audience in mind, Mark with a Roman audience in mind, and Luke with a Greek. And the Greeks were concerned about the total man. And the total man, the perfect man, is Jesus. As I was thinking about this in preparation weekly for the different sermons that we're doing in Luke, I thought about how the three purposes that, since I've come to Countryside in 1991, I've heard from Pastor Mike's mouth, that the three purposes of the church and the three purposes of the Christian life are these things, and we find them in the Gospels. And that is this. They all start with E. We should be about exalting God. And it's interesting, as we study the words and works of Jesus, what we find ourselves is that we come excitedly wanting to worship Him more. Kind of like the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, when they heard the word and they confirmed the word and saw baby Jesus in the manger, they left worshiping and glorifying God. So I notice as we study the Gospels, as we study the book of Luke, we learn more about Jesus whom we want to exalt. The other thing I notice is that as we study the Gospel, we want to evangelize more. We want to tell others about Jesus. We learn more about Jesus and we see how wonderful of a Savior He is and how gracious He is to reach out to imperfect men and women and to save those. And so it reminds me as we study the Gospels of our great need of evangelism. And then the third is edification. We should be about edifying one another. How are we to edify one another? We are to edify one another to be like Jesus. So you see what I mean? See how wonderful it is and important it is to study the Gospels? As we study the Gospels, we see Jesus and we learn about Jesus and we see what we ought to be about and learn about what we ought to be. And so that's where we find ourselves here in Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, I noticed that the whole chapter really deals with the relationship that we ought to have with the Word of Christ. The relationship we should have with the Word of Christ. But I want us to focus in on the parable that is given here in Luke 8, 4 through 15. Let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, are you satisfied 100% with your spiritual maturity? If you're to die today, going before the throne of God, are you fully content with where you are spiritually? I think if you're like me, you say, no, I want to grow. There's more I want to do. There's more that I need to get rid of, garbage out, and exemplify Christ-likeness. And so now, obviously, the challenge is what are you doing now? What decisions are you making now? What priorities are you doing now to help yourself experience the fruit of the Word of God? In Luke 8, 4 through 15, it's usually titled, and actually in my Bible that I'm using right now, it says the parable of the sower, which is fascinating because, as we will see, it talks very little about the sower. But let's read that, and let's look at the sower, verses 4 through 11a. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil, and it grew and yielded a hundredfold. As he had said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed. Let me stop right there. Why didn't he say, "The parable is this, the sower is"? It's interesting, he doesn't explain who the sower is. So why the title, "The Parable of the Sower"? Probably the title should be "The Parable of the Soils," because that'll be the focus of the soils in relationship to the Word of God. But it clearly, contextually, the sower here is Jesus. As in verse 4, when a great crowd was gathering, people from town and town came to him. He said in a parable, "He is the one that is speaking." Jesus looks out and sees the multitude, sees the crowd, and he knows that there's four things going on as he speaks. He knows that there's four types of listeners. You know, it's interesting, as a pastor, you get to look out upon the crowd as you preach, and sometimes you see some very interesting things. Sometimes you see people nodding and dozing off. I know a guy in Brazil, during the church service, he's doing great, but once you start preaching, he falls right asleep. And once you finish the amen to the sermon, he wakes right up. I think that's fascinating. There is four types of listeners, and I know that we here sometimes sit and think about what's going to go on later. But interesting, Jesus, what incredible power. He was able to look at a multitude and know the thoughts of every heart. He is the sower. Now we can apply this, and we do, and we hear it frequently from different ones, that we ought to be sowers of the word of Christ. We ought to sow the seed being the word, as we will see soon. And there is nothing wrong with that. That is one of our responsibilities, is to get the word of Christ out, isn't it? It's interesting, in 2 Corinthians 5, we are called the ambassadors of Jesus. For the first time in my life, down in Aracaju, I had an unsaved guy look at me across the table from where we're studying the Word of God, and he shared this with me. He said, "I went home and I told my wife, I have found the Messiah." And in my thoughts, I thought, amen, he is thinking about our study in the book of John. And he corrected me and said, "No, I'm thinking of you." And at first, my first thought was, "No, I am not Jesus." But he wasn't worshiping me. He wasn't doing anything like that. He was just saying, as he listened to me and studied the word, he said that he has found the words of eternal life. And that he knew Jesus, the Messiah, the true Messiah, through the words of missionary Roger Johansson. And before you think that's wrong, you actually should be thinking, amen, that is right. Everybody should be looking at you in the world and saying, there is an ambassador of Jesus. There is the one that has the word of eternal life. Many disciples were leaving Jesus in John chapter 6, and Jesus turned to his 12 and said, "Will you want to leave me also?" And Peter said, "To whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life." Listen, as Christians, as little Jesus followers, as representatives of Jesus, we ought to have on our lips the words of eternal life. We are sowers. But as we go to the text in Luke 8, 11, we see that now he goes to describe the seed. In verse 11, it says this. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. So Jesus is teaching, and he's showing that he is the sower, and the words that he is teaching is the word of God. I just want to give us a refresher, a reminder about the word of God here. So let's have some Bible drill and run through the word of God and see some references about the word of God. Go to 1 Peter 1, 23. 1 Peter 1, 23 says this. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the what? The living and abiding word of God. The word of God is living and abiding. Look at John chapter 17, verse 17, the high priestly prayer of Jesus. In John 17, 17, Jesus says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. You want to know truth about history and science and truth about the past, the present, and the future? Don't turn on the TV. Open the Bible. Look into the Word of God. The Word of God is the truth. Go to Hebrews now, 4:12. Just some great references to remind us about what we have in our hand from Genesis to Revelation. Hebrews 4, verse 12 says this. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. How many times you've been sitting there preaching or listening to the preaching of the word, and the preacher preaches something, and it seems like he had been in your living room that week and seeing what you have been speaking in your family, to your family. Maybe you elbowed your spouse and said, hey, have you been talking to the pastor? No, not so. It's the Word of God working. The Word of God is discerning and works and penetrates into our hearts and intentions of our thoughts. Romans 1:16, some more references just to remind us. Romans 1:16 says this about the good news of the Word of God, the good news gospel. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, that would be the good news of Jesus, for it is the power of God, it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And now look at chapter 10, verse 17. In 10:17 it says this, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of what? The word of Christ. Listen, if you look contextually, that word of Christ is coming from your lips. The word of Christ is coming. You are telling others about the infinite, infallible, inerrant word of God. And as you are telling them about the word of God, God may use his word and your word of passing that on to others to develop faith. Isn't that wonderful? Listen, salvation and sanctification come from the Word of God. Impossible to be saved without the Word of God. Impossible. Impossible to be sanctified without the Word of God. Oh, I'm just going to live my life, live pure, and do what I want. Impossible. You have got to be in the Word. You're struggling with sin, get in the Word. You're having difficulty with a certain attitude, get in the Word. Listen, what I observe about this parable of the sower is that he sows and the seed goes everywhere. And the problem is not with the seed. Okay? The problem is not the Word of God. Someone says the problem is, I just can't understand, or da-da-da-da-da, the problem is this. Listen, the problem in our life is never the Word of God. The Word of God is living, active, powerful truth, and it will do its work if we allow it, if we have a fertile heart. So now we get to the soils. We saw the sower, saw the seed. We get to the soils. As he says in Luke 8:8, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Makes me want to see your ears. Who has ears? You have ears, that means you have the ability to receive and listen to the Word of God. Soils are the hearers, the individuals listening to the revelation of God. Let's look at the first soil. The first soil I put here is one distracted by Satan. The first soil, the first individual hearer is the one distracted by Satan. Look at chapter 8, verse 12, Luke 8:12. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved. Wow. In the parallel account of the parable of the soil in Luke and Matthew, Matthew 13:19, he says this: "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart." So he doesn't understand, so the evil one snatches away. Talking about confusing your mind, look at what scriptures say about Satan in 2 Corinthians 4:4. In their case, the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Have you ever thought of that? Why can't my neighbor see it? It is so clear, it's so wonderful, it's so marvelous. It's eternal life. It's an eternity with God, which Psalm 16 says there are delicias perpetuamente. You know that word in Portuguese, right? There are pleasures forevermore. But as the word of God is being spoken so from your mouth, I want you to understand something. There is a spiritual battle going on. You don't think there is? Then you don't believe the Bible. Real clear. Jesus is saying, hey, as I speak, some of you right now are distracted by Satan. You know, as I've witnessed throughout the years, it's interesting talking to someone and witnessing to them that at a very pinnacle moment of explaining salvation, the phone rings and distracts them. The baby that was silent in the crib all of a sudden starts screaming bloody murder. I don't know if Satan goes up and pinches somebody. I don't know what's going on. I just know that's interesting that a lot of times as we're sharing the Word of God and evangelizing, that there's a lot of distractions that happen at the moment of applying it into the unbeliever's understanding. There is a spiritual battle going on. We need to be praying. We need your prayers on the mission field. We need your prayers to be praying. I tell you what, down in Brazil, I get excited thinking about that. I really do. As I sit there and share the word of God with others, I'm reminded that right now, probably someone at Countryside in their living room is bowing down on their knees and remembering the Johansons and the ministry of God in Brazil. And I know that God is using your prayers. It is a spiritual battle. That is the first soil. Go back to Luke. And we see the second soil is one that is distracted by emotions. It's distracted by emotions. This one is kept from the maturity of the Word of God because he's distracted by emotions. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 13. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. I've grabbed plants before. I've climbed and climbing and on rocky mountains, and the plants that are growing on the rock, sometimes they just don't hold because they don't have no soil really to get some strength in there, and so they just pull out real easy. They receive the word with joy. Listen, emotions are great. If anyone knows me, I'm an emotional person. I cry at a commercial, you know. I get excited about simple things in life. Emotions are who we are. God is emotional. Scriptures talk about the emotion. I mean, Jesus cried at the tomb of Lazarus. So emotions are not bad. But just listen to this. Emotions are powerful. Emotions are powerful. If you can have the self-awareness and other awareness of emotions, you have a great tool for producing in the workforce. But let me tell you this. Emotions can be powerfully deceiving as well. They can powerfully distract us from getting to the substance that our life needs. That's why the scriptures say, the just shall live by what? By faith. We don't live by our emotions. We live with our emotions, yes, and we should have our emotions controlled. And yes, emotions are exciting, but they are not what drive us as Christians. What drives us is our faith. If I am to experience the maturity of the Word of God, I am not living by my emotion. I don't feel like going to church today. I don't care how you feel like. Get to church. That's how counsel is in my house. Oh, Dad, I don't feel like going to church. I don't care. We're going to church. I've had to do that to some guys in Brazil. I get to church, and the guy's not at church, and I'm starting a church plant, a new church plant. I'm like, I ask his wife, where's your husband? He says he didn't feel like coming. I got in my car, run over to his house, dragged him to church. I said, you need to be at church. He said, I don't feel like. I said, I don't care what you feel like. We got to live for God. And he sits there and listens to the songs and is edified by them. And then he listens to the sermon and God works in his heart. And he comes up to me after service and says, Pastor, thank you. I said, that's what it is, brother. We don't live by emotion. We live by faith if we're going to mature. Look at that as displayed wonderfully by Abraham in Romans chapter 4. This is a great text to define faith for you if you haven't learned of this text in Romans 4, but look at what he says in Romans 4, 18 through 21, illustrated by Abraham's life. Romans 4, 18 says, in hope he believed, this is Abraham, believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations as he has been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in what? Faith. When he considered his own body, which, let's check this out, which was as good as dead. I'm 49, turning 50 soon, and I feel like my body is going to death. But here, Abraham's body was good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. And when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith, and he gave glory to God. Look at this, verse 21. Fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. See, Abraham was living by his emotion. His emotion was saying, your body's dying. His body's dead, practically. There's no hope for any descendants. But he didn't live by his emotion. He lived by his faith. And he said, no, God told me, and I am convinced He is powerful enough to do what he has promised. That is why he was able to mature. That was why he was able to display the incredible production of the Word of God in his life. But the first soil is one distracted by Satan. The second soil is one distracted by emotions. The third soil, going back to Luke 8, is one that is distracted by the world. In Luke 8, verse 14, "And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked." How are they choked? They are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. In other words, the Word of God is not going to produce in their life because they have allowed their lives to be choked by what? By cares and riches and pleasures of this world. The third soil, the third listener, is distracted by the world. Interesting, look at that in 2 Timothy 4. Interesting text. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, Paul says this, For Demas, he's talking about a person named Demas, "For Demas, in love," agape, by the way, for you that like to study the word love, "in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica." Wow. So Demas left Paul, the most exciting missionary apostle that we know. And he left him for what? Because he loved the pleasures of this world. It's interesting, I was sharing a Bible study about this subject, and as I talked about how the riches and pleasures of life choke us and allow not maturity to come about, and I had someone right in the middle of the study said, "That's me. That's exactly how I am." I love the innocence, the honesty. I thought it was great. And so we talked about, why is that? Why do we allow that? And we do that as well, don't we? We allow the pleasures of this world. I loved it. I was visiting one brother in the Lord here at Countryside. And we were talking about sports, and you know how much sports are part of the American life. I mean, it's just amazing. Did you know there was no NBA final this year? No NCAA final? How did we make it? And the brother, I loved it, the brother shared with me and said, "You know, it's interesting, I missed it for only 3 days." Something like that. And I realized, don't need it. It's like, yeah, we get distracted sometimes with so many things. And we need to keep that focus on the eternal things. So now we get to the fourth soil. And that's the soil we should be. That's the type of listener we should be. That fourth soil is the one where we let loose the cheetahs. In other words, we don't limit them. And we allow the Word of God to work. Look at Luke 8, 15. "As for that in the good soil, there are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast and honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." And that fruit is amazingly, abundantly, hundredfold. Who doesn't want that? As a Christian, we should all be saying, "I want that. I want the maximum that the Word of God can produce in my life." Well, what's that look like? What does a fertile heart look like? What is a hearer that allows the word to produce? And I think the chapter gives us some insights for that. And let's look at those really quick. A fertile heart is secure, secures itself in the word. A fertile heart secures itself in the word. Because look how I said it in 8:15. "As for that in the good soil, there are those who, hearing the word," look at this phrase, "hold it fast." Hold it fast. A fertile heart secures itself in the word. I think he illustrates this in Luke 8:22 and 25a. Look what he says in Luke 8:22. One day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he woke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?" Listen, the winds and water of this world and the trials and the difficulties come in our life. Have faith. Hold fast. Hold fast on who? Jesus. Hold fast on what? His word. If I am to have a fertile heart, I am to always not be running to the TV or running to food. I am to be running to the infinite word of God. I am to be running to what will hold me, what has the ability to secure me. Young person, your security, your identity is the word of God. Oh, you do your family that way because of the word. That's right. I do my family because of the word. I've had relatives complain how I run my family. And I waver not, secure myself in what? The word of God. So a fertile heart, first off, is one that secures itself in the word. A fertile heart is a sincere heart towards the word. It's a sincere person. Look at 8:15 again, because he says, "As for that in the good soil, there are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart." An honest and good heart. Do you have an honest and good heart? There are a lot of things to dive in and to think about that. But I believe the text is saying this, that you are sincere. That as the word of God is coming into your receptive receivers, into your mind, and you're thinking about the word, you are allowing it to honestly work in who you are. You are truly saying, "Here I am, Lord. Use me. Do what you have to do. See what evil way is in me. Take it out. And put me on the path of eternal life." But too many times we want to do things our way. Too many times we justify away the word of Christ. We need a sincere heart, a sincere one, person. So a fertile heart is secure in the word. A fertile heart is sincere towards the word. And a fertile heart shows obedience to the word constantly. Look at verse 15, 16 again. For 15, "As for that in the good soil, there are those who hear in the word, hold it fast and honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience." With patience, the idea is that it's going to take time sometimes. It's not going to come right away to see some of that maturity. I planted a tree in my backyard in Atacaju, and I found out that it's going to take 10 years for it to mature, and I'm thinking, I don't know if I'll be here 10 years. I messed up. I need to read how long it takes for the fruit to come. I want that fruit today. But I have to be patient. In other words, the fertile heart shows obedience to the word constantly. Constantly. Look at verse 16. "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar, puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light." So we see that as we accept the word into our life, that we show others that we are about the word of God. And we need to be about it consistently. It's interesting, he says in Luke 8:19-21. Look at that, verse 19. "Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, 'Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you.' But he answered them, 'My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it.'" Remember I said Luke chapter 8 is about your relationship to the word, and here he's saying, to have a fertile heart, we must constantly obey the word. That reminds us of James, doesn't it? Go real quick to James. Keep one finger back in Luke. We'll get back to Luke. But in James, James chapter 1, verse 22 says, But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Interesting. We deceive ourselves. There's some deceivers here. As I look out, there are some deceivers. You're hearing the word. Got my church in. No. Don't just be a hearer. We have to be a doer. Look what he says. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserves, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in all his doing. You ever see those people who look like they didn't look at a mirror in the morning? Don't look around. But there's certain people that, you know, look in the mirror and go, and maybe they don't even look in the mirror. I've known people that look in the mirror for a long time. They want to look really good. I know it's not me. But what James is saying is it's very critical and very important that we look into the Word of God and do it. And as we do, did you see what he said at the end? He will be blessed in his doing. And in Luke chapter 8 says, he will be fruitful. He will see fruit, the maturity of the Word in his life. A fertile heart shows obedience to the Word constantly. In Luke chapter 8, I just noticed some of the stories. It was interesting that in one of the stories where a man filled with a legion of demons. Can you imagine a legion of demons? And Jesus says, hey, you guys are out of here, out of this man. And they say, well, throw us in the pigs. Okay, you can go to the pigs. Goes to the pigs, pigs run down, die. People come out. And they see the man that was filled with the legion of demons, and he was perfectly still and had clothing. And they asked Jesus to leave, and as Jesus gets in the boat, the man wants to go with him. And look at Luke 8, 39, or 38 through 39. Luke 38 through 39. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. So I see that a fertile heart shares the word with others. Now, as I'm church planting in Northeast Brazil in Aracaju, one of the things that we are striving to try to do is to get our people to share the word, share Jesus with others. And that is so important for them. It is important for the growth of the church. It is important for their maturity. And as we as Christians, for 1 year or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years, we should always be about sharing the greatest truth, the greatest news, the best news ever, and that is about Jesus. Wherever we are at, and wherever we buy our food, or wherever we live and reside, or wherever we stop on purpose to buy lemonade from a lemonade stand, or from I'm just trying to think here of what could happen. I just, like in Brazil, we try to purposely have encounters, purposeful encounters, so that we can share the word of Christ. Matter of fact, one guy that witnessing hard with, his name is Fabiano, and pray for him. He's my tennis instructor, which we can't play tennis right now because somehow the virus will get on the ball, and the ball will get on our fingers, and the fingers get on our nose, and it get into our body, and then we can't play. So, you know, but and that's how he makes his living. And anyhow, but I developed a relationship with him, and it was just through tennis. You know what I'm saying is, every contact that we come into is an individual, a soul that is standing on the gates of heaven or the gates of hell. I mean, there's the decision to be made. And to help make that decision, we need to give them the great truth, the great God, the great answer to all the serious eternal problems of sin, and that is Jesus. And so a fertile heart should be a heart that shares the word of Christ with others. That man that was filled with the legion, he did, and shared with the whole city. Now, interesting, Luke chapter 8 talks about another thing in relation to the word of God. And that's at the very beginning, Luke chapter 8, verse 1 through 3. And so I put it this way, a fertile heart supports the ministry of the word. So we have the fertile heart is what? Is one that is secure to the word, is one that is sincere towards the word, it is one that shows obedience constantly, it is one who shares the word, and it is one who supports the ministry of the word. Look at chapter 8, 1 through 3. Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. Fascinating little phrase. So we have these women following, and obviously come from a very financial abilities, and they're supporting, providing the ministry of Jesus through their financial means. So I see that a fertile heart supports the ministry of the word. Where your treasure is, your heart is, right? Where your heart is, your treasure is. I'm really thankful for Countryside. You know, throughout the years, I came in 1991, became a missionary pastor in 1994, and listen to this, since 1994 to 2020, I have never had lack of support from Countryside. Never, not once. Countryside has been a church that has been faithful in giving to the ministry of the Word of God. I want to thank you publicly. Just thank you all for your ministry. I've shared with people before, I'll get to heaven and have no reward. I'm serious. That's how I feel. I feel who gets the reward are those who are sitting here who no one knows about, but they're praying and giving to the ministry of the Word. Being faithful in your local ministry, but giving faithfully to support the ministry of the word worldwide. Thank you for that. And it shows a great heart. It really does. Listen, to experience the fruit of the word of God, you need a fertile heart. How are you doing this morning? Are you distracted by Satan? Are you not understanding? You need someone to come and to expose you to more of the light. You need God to work in your heart and to keep you from the distraction of Satan. Maybe you're one that's always emotional and you need to learn to control your emotions and let faith guide you. You say, I don't always feel like studying the Bible. Who cares how you feel? Tell your feelings no and say yes to faith. And maybe you're distracted by the pleasures of this world. It's kind of neat that God took some of those pleasures away out with this virus, didn't he? It's kind of neat what God does. Kind of not. It's always neat. Listen, seek to have a fertile heart. Be sincere, secure upon the word, trust God, and be consistently obedient, and watch what God does. Watch how the cheetahs run at 65 miles per hour, and come to the point to where you can say like Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I mean, Paul was ready. I'm ready to go. So that question, if you were to die today, are you content where you are spiritually? Paul was. I hope you are too. to experience the fruit of the word, you need a fertile heart. Let's pray. Father God Almighty, I thank you for your word. I thank you that's living and active, and I thank you that nobody gets special attention of more revelation than another. We all get Genesis to Revelation. There is nothing wrong with your word. Your word is truth, and your word is the power that is able to save lives. Maybe there is someone today that has never truly been fully convinced in their heart that Jesus is sufficient enough to forgive them of all their sins, and that he rose from the grave and is able to give them eternal life in heaven. May you work in their heart right now. Keep them from Satan, Lord. Help them to open their eyes, they may see, that they may trust in you completely with all their heart. Maybe there's others here, Lord, that we are distracted by our emotions, distracted by the pleasures of this world. We're not allowing the word to mature in our life. God, help us to see, open our eyes that we may see what it is that's distracting us and to take it away. Lord, help us to see the wonderful fruit and production of your word that you can do in our lives, and to help us to desire that and to prioritize our life for that, and that we seek with patience to be obedient to your word so that we may experience it even in the midst of an epidemic. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.